Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. And we got Rick DiPietro coming up in 10 minutes. Guys, what is so well done?
What you laughing about, Key?
What's going on?
Jermaine Jackson did, and I was thinking about it, and I was envisioning it in my head if he broke the huddle. Hey, spring right option, 268, go on three, guys.
What?
Thank you, Jordan. I'm just like, Jermaine will be in the huddle. He'll go, Michael, go to the left, Tito to the right.
Can you imagine a Hard Knocks with Jermaine Jackson? Oh, my God. It'd be the most watched Hard Knocks in the history of all shows.
Yeah. I just feel like I was the star on the team until my show.
I'm not on your team, man.
Ready on three. One, two, three, ready. Oh, my God.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance makes building home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com.
At least they would have on gloves.
We going to hell, man.
No, I ain't going to hell. No, I'm a good dude, man. I ain't, no, man.
For the Franklin. One, two, three, win.
One, two, three, win.
Guys, something caught our attention.
Max, we having fun.
Yeah, Max, we know something caught our eye.
Something caught our attention yesterday.
Bing, bang.
We had 2 minutes of fun. And I think the fun time now.
Two minutes.
Man, you know what you are. I see why your daughter, your 13-year-old, goes in her room and closes the door on you. You're boring.
Who said that? She doesn't go in the room and close the door. You said that yours does that. That's projection.
Thank you, Jordan.
He does a lot
Get
of
him, Max.
All right, listen.
Now back to sports.
Back to sports. That's
all right.
Fun for today.
Yes.
All right.
Here we go.
2 minutes in.
I want to get to this.
We're building.
Because our producer, Evan Wilner, is a big Jets fan. Big Jets fan. And something happened yesterday that had him so worked up. If he can even reproduce a little bit of it right now, I just got to hear it. So there's a guy that's known as @PFFGeorge from Pro Football Focus. And he tried to make the argument that the Jets, in fact, did not have a good draft. That anyone could have drafted Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson with a 4th and 10 picks, right? You know what, Evan? You're going to do it more justice than I am.
Yeah,
what?
This is nonsense. Like, it is a nonsense take. And they tried to describe this on Twitter, and unfortunately we can't play the audio, but, like, they tried to describe it in their podcast as there's nuance to this and, you know, that anyone could have drafted a 4 and 10. You want to use nuance here? And again, this is clickbait, and I'm taking the bait. I don't care. Like, they posted this to get attention. Here it is. I'm going to give Pro Football Focus the attention they want. They are in the position to draft 4th, yes, because they had a bad season with a rookie quarterback and a brand-new head coach. They're in position to take Garrett Wilson at 10. You know why? Because they traded a safety for 2 first-round picks and Jamal Adams instead of paying the guy. So you want nuance? They made a great trade to get 2 top-10 picks. Then they traded back into the first round to get Jermaine Johnson. Now, if you listen to the whole clip and you listen to their podcast, they clearly did not like the Jermaine Johnson pick. That is all that this is based on. They thought he's too old for a rookie. They thought he was just a one-year wonder. They thought he was a Senior Bowl guy who did really well at the Senior Bowl and isn't a good player. So that's all they based this on. But the part that really drove me nuts was that they hated on the Breece Hall pick. They took a running back they just did at the top of the second round. They were in position to do that because they traded Sam Darnold last year. So would I rather have Breece Hall or Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold couldn't get the Panthers a 7th-round pick right now. The Jets got a 2nd-rounder for him a year ago and turned that into a running back in Breece Hall. And then they try to make the argument that Breece Hall's a running back to strength for the Jets. And do they know anything about this Jets roster? If you look at their depth chart, their running backs stink. Of course they took Breece Hall. The strength of the team is the offensive line and the defensive line, not the running backs, as these guys would lead you to believe. Then the last thing. They said they should have drafted Malik Willis instead of Breece Hall. Seriously?
What?
Seriously, Maurice? What? Malik Willis went 40 picks later in the third round.
Okay.
And you're not going to waste time developing Malik Willis when that time, resource, and energy could be put into developing Zach Wilson, who they said was garbage last year. Yeah, he was garbage the first six games of the year. He got better. He had his best game of the year against the Titans, who ended up with the number one seed. The Jets actually won that game. He played really well. Down the stretch, he outplayed Tom Brady in a game at MetLife Stadium. The Jets lost, but Zach Wilson actually outplayed Tom Brady for a major portion of that game. So you know what my message to these guys is? Pro football, focus on something else because you're not good at this.
hey, what I would say,
Evan, spit it.
All right, relax now, Evan.
Key, it's just FYI, two for Evan. These are the same guys that touted that Tua was going to be more successful than Justin Herbert coming out of college because of a giant difference that Tua has the accuracy and the ability to win
I
in the
like
NFL
PFF.
Now where Herbert
Evan,
doesn't.
I like
Stop.
Me some PFF.
Come don't on, complain. Don't explain. Just find solutions. That's all you got to do, Evan.
Stay
and I think
off
the Jets,
social media.
I think the Jets are trying to find solutions. First of all, to back up some of your points, the Jets' top three, four choices, the top four choices, three in the first round and the one in the second round, consensus across the board on most and all, if not analysts, mock drafts, had them at the top four at each position on the leaderboard, whether it was the defensive back, the defensive end, the wide receiver, or the running back were in the top four at their position. There, none of them are reaches. And in terms of Jermaine Johnson being older, okay, so he's more mature. What does that mean? He's more mature. What do you think he's going to play till he's 60? No. If you can get five, six good years out of a guy, that's a win. The NFL is a 3.5 year max on an average in the NFL. So if you can get 6 years, that's a lifetime.
Well, look, I think that the reason, Key, that this was interesting to begin with is that it's a hot take that PFF has, right? That PFF George has, right? Because almost everyone, it's practically unanimous. The Jets had the best draft out of everyone. If someone else thinks, oh, the Ravens considering draft position, but the Jets got top of the board rankings, right? So they are coming with a hot take. So you're saying PFF is not right, but Evan disgruntled Jets fan is right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying
yes.
That.
Yeah,
I'm not, a disgruntled Jets fan. I'm a disgruntled person who had to listen to something that doesn't make sense. It's not accurate.
Saying that
the Jets running back is a strength of the team.
I don't understand that point at all. Like, why would someone complain about moving up to get the best back in the draft? You didn't even take a look. You used a second round pick to get
him. It
fell in their lap.
The craziest thing of them all is Malik Willis to the Jets. That's the craziest of all of them. Why in the hell would the Jets select Malik Willis when they got a first-year quarterback who's the starter on the roster? And like Evan said, you're going to now take a guy who is a project and make him your backup quarterback at number two?
Yeah.
That doesn't make that – like, what are you talking about?
I think, Evan, also you correctly point out a lot of the things that Joe Douglas did, the Jets GM, in order to put them in a position to take all these draft picks, right? The trading of a safety for two firsts, all that kind of stuff. Here is Joe Douglas on Bart and Hahn about the goal for the Jets.
We want to make the Jets a destination for players. And not just from – obviously you do that from having a strong roster – but also strong infrastructure in terms of great facilities, great support staff, a great coaching staff. You know, bringing Coach Saleh and the staff that he's brought together, passionate guys that love to teach, that want to get these guys paid, and just up front, like I want you to hit your goal and I want you to get paid. And so, you know, we want this place to be a destination where good players want to come.
Yeah, Key, I think that they're doing a pretty good, like, especially considering you're up against the history of the franchise, where a lot of times they're a laughing stock, that the Jets are looking more and more attractive. Like, even if Zach Wilson didn't work out, they're building the kind of infrastructure, it seems to me, like you could just slide another dude in there and it would look good.
Man, they better hope that Zach Wilson work out, because if not, that means that your program is picking in the top four again in the next couple years. So you better hope that Zach Wilson is the right guy.
Or else Joe Douglas will have made it an attractive destination for another
general manager.
Well, see, Key,
the two question marks here around this organization are Sam Wilson. Sam Wilson, for sure.
Sam right? Wilson?
Zach Wilson. I combine Sam Darnold
and Zach
Wilson.
That's
okay. Block. Sam, that that's Sam Wilson is block
Sam
office.
Wilson. It happens, Max. It's okay. Narnia McNutt. And also,
Fragrant 2.
It's been a long night for everybody. We just get through it. No excuses. Let's go.
Nut.
All I'm saying is that, and Key, and Robert Saleh, like, this defense has to make improvements, and we need to see it over the course of time because at the end of the day, I love the personality of Robert Saleh. I want to see that translate on the field. But, like, that, to me, that and Zach Wilson are the two question marks around this team right now.
No, there's question marks around the team. There's no question about it. And Robin Saleh is one of them. We don't know if he can coach. We know that he can talk at a press conference, and we know that he has a certain look and a bravado, and New Yorkers love that sort of stuff. But we don't know if he can coach. Okay, last year was his first year as a head coach. Now he goes into a sophomore season as a head coach with a better roster given to him by Joe Douglas. Let's see improvement. I don't need him to win 10 games. Hell, if they make a run at the seventh spot in a wild card and they challenge the New England Patriots for second in the division, that's a step in the right direction. Yeah, and I know New York Jet fans, they get all high-hoped and they get all excited about things, but this is a building block opportunity for the Jets over the next 2 to 3 years to make significant strides before you start to get into Zach Wilson's contract extensions, things of that nature.
For a lot of the Jets' history, they'd take 10 wins over 2 seasons. Rick DiPietro, ESPN hockey analyst, co-host of DiPietro and Rothenberg on ESPN 98.7 New York, is with us. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, so you're a Jets fan. Are you as disgruntled as Evan, as someone, you know, it's someone suggesting on PFF this idea that the Jets should have drafted Malik Willis over the best running back in the draft in the second round?
Well, here's what I'll say about that, is you use the second overall pick on Zach Wilson. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong. Like, being a GM in the NFL is an awesome job, right?
Yeah.
You guys all agree
yes.
with that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, and usually, I mean, once you've lost that job, it's tough to get a second chance of being a GM in the NFL. So for Joe Douglas, the focus of this draft and every player he signs moving forward here with this team is make sure Zach Wilson turns into your franchise quarterback. Because if Zach Wilson works out and he's your franchise quarterback, you're going to have a job for a long time. If he doesn't, Joe Douglas is going to be fired, Robert Saleh is going to be fired, and we're going to be right back where we started. So, I mean, whoever had this take needs to explain to me, how does Malik Willis help Zach Wilson this year take the step we need him to take to prove to everybody that he can be a franchise quarterback?
Rick, you really think if Zach Wilson doesn't turn out to be the guy that Joe Douglas automatically gets fired? When if he turns yep. that into something different? With some of the assets that he's gotten over the draft?
Joe Douglas will lose his job.
Rick, you know a little something about hockey. What do you think of Igor Shesterkin's performance for the Rangers game one of their triple overtime loss to the Penguins?
I thought Igor Shesterkin was amazing. I mean, he was the reason that game went on as long as it did. I mean, that and an awful call, in my opinion, with the goaltender interference. But, I mean, he's going to win the Vezina at a certain point. I mean, he had his save percentage up at .942. For anyone that doesn't really pay attention to hockey, the best save percentage in the history of the sport was .944. So he had that kind of season where, I mean, I would put him in the MVP conversation. But he's right now one of the best, if not the best, in the league. And some of the saves he made last night. I mean, the second period, Pittsburgh had 25 shots. He lets in 3 goals, and he had an amazing period. I mean, very rarely do you say a goalie lets in 3 goals in a period and has an amazing period. So he was phenomenal last
Rick,
night.
Rick, why do you think the officials got the call wrong?
Well, so – and this is coming from a goalie. So, I mean, I'm looking, you know, always if someone bumps me, I want the call. I can't do my job. But when you watch the play, and I've watched it, I don't know, 50 times last night and this morning, is as Kaapo Kakko comes to the net to make his move, he's actually, and you can tell, like, how he moves his hands and especially his feet, is he's trying to slow up and make his way around the goalie, Casey DeSmith. And as he goes to make that move, Dumoulin hits him from behind and pushes him into DeSmith. So he kind of... he hits the head of DeSmith, and then it's Dumoulin, actually, that falls down and pushes DeSmith out of the net, and then Hedl has the open net. Originally called the goal on the ice, but when they went to Toronto, they ruled it goalie interference.
So, Rick, you made mention of DeSmith, right? When he left in the second OT, Louis Domingue came in afterwards, and what he said was hysterical. He actually had a pretty big meal. Listen to this.
I actually had a quite the meal in between the first and the second overtime. I didn't expect going in, but maybe it sustained my energy. So it was cool, though. It was cool to be part of that.
You say quite the meal. What was it?
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
Is this a thing, Rick? Like, dude, spicy pork and broccoli? No. A full meal before what?
No, it is not the thing. No, I want to know who ordered that. Is Mark Davis ordering their food from P.F. Chang's? Did he Grubhub? Like, hey, you know, pick me up some spicy pork and broccoli over at Tao. I want to know because there's no way you guys have been in NBA locker rooms, NFL locker rooms, that your strength coach or your trainer are ordering you spicy pork for a meal in between periods or overtimes. No chance that happened. Hey, listen, I'll tell you, he played good. That's a testament to his digestive system that he was able to manage that.
No, you know what, Rick, though?
He was pepper spraying around the goal. That's why, Rick. Nobody wanted to go by.
You better watch out, though, Jay. I've had one of those situations where you try, hey, maybe I'll just slip this one out. You can't. You know how long it takes to take that goalie gear off?
Oh, God. It's so gross.
You got to live with that one.
You know, Rick, though, in the NFL, guys eat stuff in the locker room at halftime. They'll eat it on the sidelines, too. Remember Mark Sanchez was eating a hot dog on the sideline?
Yep.
I mean, it happens, you know, but I don't know about no spicy pork. I wonder if it was cubes or shredded.
Well, here's the thing, though, Key. I actually had a situation in Montreal where I didn't sit on the bench because the bench was too small, so I sat in the hallway. And Montreal is famous for their hot dogs. So they used to have a big, you know, a plate of hot dogs down by the locker room. So I'm sitting there hanging out. Don't think I'm going to play. So I'm like, hey, I'll take a couple of those hot dogs. Hey, can you go get me a popcorn, maybe a pretzel? I got my Diet Coke hanging out watching the game. And then guess what happens? Hey, Rick, get your stuff. You're in. I'm like, what? Yeah, you're in. So I'm scrambling. I got mustard on my jersey. My helmet's off, hanging off sideways. A disaster.
So wait, no, Rick. You're not going to get off the hook here. You told me you had a situation where you had to get all that gear off because, you know, something squeezed through. Like, wait,
no, I didn't get the gear off, Jay. I didn't
get the gear off.
What?
Slip by the goalie? That's what you want to know, Jay?
I just want to know how he got the gear. What happened? Were you in the game? Were you in the game? Take me through it.
No, I was fully immersed in the game, and it was early on in the second period. And Uncle Rick thought, hey, you know, it's a good idea to maybe just release some tension here. And little did I realize that there was more than a little bit of tension coming out. And I had to steal that for the rest of the period.
Oh, the whole period? You just stayed with it?
I can't.
You just made that up. That's not true. For the phrase, not true.
Rick, this is true. How long was in the period? I don't know how long you had Dupu die.
That's what I call a fragrant two.
For the fragrant two.
There was a fragrant two. Yeah, I was probably looking at a good 18 minutes of the period left.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay.
A touch and go. I was wondering why no one wanted to come in my crease.
Yeah, not a lot of shots on goal that day.
Touch and go.
Number two.
Number two.
It's a tough spot, guys. Hey, here. Hey, let's not bury the lead here. Because I'm sitting here. I got Jay telling me yesterday he's in Memphis. I hope he's training. Because all I'm saying is this. I listen to your show and I listen to Bart and Hahn. If you two lose to Bart and Hahn in 2-on-2 basketball, I think you both need to leave the country because it's unacceptable.
So listen to what your colleague, Don LaGreca, had to say about this very subject, Rick.
Bart Scott was a tremendous athlete. Did he ever jump more than 6 feet in the air? And Alan Hahn did some great things at CW Post, but at CW Post, man, we're talking about Keyshawn Johnson. His job was to jump and catch footballs, albeit 20 years ago, but still, that doesn't leave you. And Jay Will played. He played, man. He excelled at the sport of basketball. So I don't know who's covering who's doing what, who's going to defend, who's going to shoot, whatever, who's going to dribble. You guys have no shot. Do you hear me? None chance. Bart Scott and Alan Hahn have none chance to win. It would really be embarrassing. I would try to figure out a way to get out of it. You can fake injury. You can face distress. Maybe you got something to do that day. Something's going on. Hey, or Alan, you know what you do? Tell them your kid's got a hockey game in D.C.
I don't disagree. I'll tell you right now. I mean, my only concern is that Bart gets a little bit crazy and you have a Dylan Brooks situation, which I could see happening. But I'll tell you this. Jay, let me tell you this.
Okay.
Let me just explain to you why I feel like you guys should – this should be a no contest. Is Bart has never skipped a neck day in his life. He probably can't turn his head. You get in his peripherals, there's no way he'll see you. So that's number one. Alan Hahn, good friend of mine. I started in the radio business with Alan Hahn. Has my name actually tattooed on his what he calls a bicep. They talk about Alan Hahn's quads like they talk about Kenny Pickett's hands. His quads are essentially skin wrapped around a femur. If you lose to these two, I'm telling you right now, and I want to be there to witness it, I don't even know if we can crosstalk anymore.
Rick, I've never paid attention to Allen Hound's quads. They're really skim wrapped around his femur. That's how you view it?
Wait till you see these things.
I'm just attacking the quads on every dribble. I'm dicing them up with my elbows. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you right now, you give him a parrot and an eye patch, he's a pirate. I promise you.
Rick, you know how it is, man. I love to hear people talk. I don't need to say nothing. They've never seen me play basketball, right? They don't really get it. They just see me on the football field, so they don't really understand how to be just turn on a switch for a different sport. Like,
Key, how's
right
your handles? How are your handles, Key? Can you dance
against these dudes?
Yeah. Oh, you on the?
Oh, I'm gonna dance on them.
Okay.
Against you, it's a different story. Against them? Oh man, that's a layup.
This is where I'm gonna get in trouble, Rick, because I'm gonna want to see Key work out. So I'm gonna give Key the ball and let him work out on Bart. Because when Key starts scoring on Bart,
this type of dude, come on, man, stop, man. Lord. If you know anything about me, Jay and Rick, you know I ain't gonna talk that it and not deliver. I'm not gonna embarrass myself. I'm not gonna come in and say something that I can't do. It just doesn't work for me.
Well,
I can't
this,
be somebody's meme. It's not going
to
happen.
After this, I hear they're challenging you guys, Rick, to a two-on-two hockey. So we'll see what happens with Bart and Han. Rick DiPietro, ESPN hockey analyst, co-host of DiPietro and Rothenberg on ESPN 98.7 New York.
I'm going to lose to
Great talking to you, Rick, as always.
All right, Rick. Please. Skin wrap around the femur. 18 minutes with those pants? Wow.
The perfect.
You think it burned, Jay?
For a 38-year-old LeBron. Oh, the
I wonder if he used the diaper rash.
Gold
bond.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's a year-to-year type job. It will be interesting as far as how much security that person gets.
One person who is certainly significantly involved in this process is Phil Jackson. He's got a voice in this. He did last time when they hired Frank Vogel.
And what does that mean for LeBron James? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Let me just throw this out there now, given what you're about to hear. Will LeBron finish his career with the Lakers? Will LeBron be on the Lakers next year? Where will he be? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. You can tweet us at Key J and Max. Key J, here's Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN senior NBA insider, in case you didn't know. Woj on NBA Today.
This is very much a committee in LA putting together this coaching search. And one person who is certainly significantly involved in this process is Phil Jackson. He's got a voice in this. He did last time when they hired Frank Vogel. He was, you know, he and Kurt Rambis, he had been somebody they had considered with the Knicks before hiring Derek Fisher in New York. And so I think Phil Jackson's voice is here.
Wow. What does that mean? What does that mean for the Lakers. What does that mean for LeBron James? It's pretty well known Phil and LeBron aren't exactly best friends.
I am I'm very mentally challenged in this situation. I just realized, I'm like sitting here thinking, Max, I'm like, how the hell do Phil Jackson know Kurt Rambis like that? Then I was like, well, wait a minute. Jeannie and Linda. I forgot about that. Yeah, they had lunch together, dinner.
Phil and Jeannie were engaged for a million years.
That's what I said before, Key.
No, I know, but it wasn't dawning on me because I was sitting here thinking, like, he never coached with him, I don't think. He might have been on the back of the bench, but he never would play with him. He didn't coach him. And I was just trying to put it together. And then I realized, oh, it's a special bond and relationship because of the relationship. So no wonder they're leaning on Phil Jackson to help them screw up the Lakers even more. Got it.
Yeah, so if this alienates LeBron, Jay, is he out of there?
I don't think he's going anywhere, man. If I'm LeBron, I'm ending my career with the Lakers. I think I have a business empire that extends beyond basketball. I finally got my family settled there. My kids are in school. Like, everything feels like it fits. And granted, like, the organization may be a little bit messed up right now, but I'm going to try to weather the storm for the sake of my reputation before I just take my toy and leave the room.
I'll tell you what,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, anything, and if anything, Max's reputation will take a hit in L.A.
100%.
As far as his business stuff goes, I mean, they're going to do business with him regardless if he got good content. If they, you know, Nike going to roll with him. Hollywood's going to roll with him. If they, you know, people in L.A. will look at
life,
him.
Key, your day-to-day life. Think about
It'll
having to deal with that
different.
All day. Think about you dealing know. With that all the time, though, Key. In L.A., you want to live in L.A. with the if people see you as having done the Lakers wrong?
No, you don't necessarily want to because you'll be heckled. You'll be this. You'll be that. People they'll look at you differently. But in the grand scheme of things, because I'm worth $1 billion, it doesn't really matter. So, right? I mean, scheme of things.
I get that.
Ain't the same. If you're living in L.A., you want to attend the Laker game. That's just part of it, right, Max?
100%.
If you're living in L.A. and you're in the entertainment business, you want to be able, ex-player or not, you want to be able to go sit on the bench on the court side, put your feet on the wood, and I don't know that LeBron James will be welcome back in the crypto arena, Jay, if that was to take place where he would all of a sudden decide to take off because he's not getting his way, so to speak, anymore.
So that's Jay. No, go ahead.
Because it's all part of
it. Okay, I'll say this. Lakers are what make L.A. a town more than anything else in L.A., period. More than anything. That's where all walks of life from everywhere in L.A. get to the same place pulling in the same direction. It's the Lakers, okay?
Yeah.
In New York City, the only team – I understand hockey is a big sport, but I'm talking about of the most popular American sports. It's basketball, football, baseball. The only team that plays in the city, in Manhattan, is the Knicks. That's it. Nets in Brooklyn, pretty close. Yankees in the Bronx, Mets in Queens, right? The Knicks, the Giants and Jets in Jersey, the Knicks play right in the middle of the city. Key, when you start talking about if LeBron would be on the move, where would he go? Cleveland is always a possibility.
Cleveland is.
Miami, you'd have to look at, right?
But does Pat Riley want to deal with that at the end now?
Yeah, right. But you know who I bet you anything would deal with that at the end all day long and twice on Sundays is the New York Knickerbockers, right? Like, it's so on brand for the Knicks to wind up. Finally, we got our superstar. He's 38 years old. Could he wind up in New York? Could LeBron wind up in the Knicks?
New York has a lot of the same similarities in terms of Laker basketball, except the championships. They have, for whatever it's worth, Max, they do have a following. The following is, you know, sad, but it's a following because they haven't won. So it's sad. But there's a certain aura that comes with being in MSG, playing for the Knicks, sort of kind of like the Lakers. If LeBron James were to do that and go to New York at the end of his career, he could still get it done. And I think you could still attract players.
The answer to your question, Max, is hell No, it would never happen. Do you know why? His name is James Dolan. It would never happen. You're telling me LeBron, who's had issues with ownership as it relates to Dan Gilbert in Cleveland, then goes out to L.A., deals with Jeannie Buss. You're telling me he wants to end his career with James Dolan?
Hard to imagine.
They had a chance to get him back in 2010, and he chose to turn them down. That's when he went to Miami Heat. And if you remember, do you remember when all stuff happened with Charles Oakley? So Uncle Oak came out and made this comment to the Daily News because after the fight, he said, I walked back to LeBron and said, this mother blanker wouldn't shake my hand talking about Dolan. And then said, all LeBron said to me was, this is why I'm never going to New York. So when you hear things like that coming from Charles Oakley, who's like the godfather of basketball to everybody younger, we listen to that, man. I see the business opportunity and what that would be for LeBron. I see what he would be able to build here, but I don't think he would ever want to build that for James Dolan while he's in power.
I want everyone in New York to listen to Jay Will very closely. Think about what that means. You have New York to sell. It's the easiest thing in the world. I know it's not a warm weather city. It's expensive and all that, but it's New York City. It's a megaphone for your brand, right? What better platform for your brand? There's L.A., there's New York, right? Look at the Yankees. Look how popular the Knicks are in spite of stinking for so long. And yet they have an owner who is so toxic that you can't get a guy like LeBron, if he left L.A. and you looked around and said, what would Cleveland want to give up right now? Miami might not work. Well, huh, where would LeBron go? And LeBron's already said, I'm never going to go there because of Dolan. Think about that for a second. It's unreal. It's like, you know, and I could tell you this, Key, my whole life as a little kid, I was like, damn, every time I saw the Lakers make a move, I was like, man, why don't the Knicks do something like that? Why do the Knicks never do anything like that? Comes down to ownership. Dr. Buss was the greatest owner in the history of American team sports, and Jim Dolan is arguably the worst owner in the NBA right now.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This has been quite the day for malaprops, man. First, Jay starts out with a block office.
Yeah, it makes sense though. Yeah,
no, it doesn't.
Blockbuster, box office.
Yeah,
no.
Block office.
Blockbuster.
Never heard of that.
Block office.
And then Key later on with a fragrant two.
For the fragrant two. Yeah.
And then we had Rick DiPietro get on during crosstalk.
He took a fragrant two in the middle of a hockey game.
He told a story about a fragrant two.
Crosstalk or crossover?
What?
Crossover talk.
Yeah, crossover talk. There.
Then Yates got it. So this wasn't on air, but Yates got in our ear at one point and told us 10 minutes when he meant 10 seconds.
I was looking at something different, man. I don't know what you
we
want.
We should have kept going for 10 minutes. I wonder what Evan would have did then.
Max could have.
Yeah, easily. Standing on my head.
Billy, you're so stupid.
You're so stupid.
What happens, what man, when you are – I explained this to somebody the other day. They were asking me, how come you guys don't ever mess up? I said, no, we mess up. You just don't know we mess up. But when you are talking for like 12 hours, at some point you're going to say something that's – incorrect.
I mean,
that's
just
what it is. See, I combine names. Like today I said Sam Wilson, and you guys are like, wait, Sam, like, damn it. I combined Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah, that was the other one. Sam Wilson.
Sam Wilson.
What happens, though? What? Because you're thinking about so many different things.
Is it because it's Wednesday? Is there an adding up late playoff games by Wednesday where it's hump day and all that? And so you're just kind of like dragging a little bit and everyone's messing up more on a Wednesday?
No, it happens every single day. Some stuff we just let slide. Because, Max, you got to realize you're up into the middle of the night. You're trying to watch a game or two. Yeah. Then you're trying to watch something else. And you try. It's not like most people on radio, They're local. They got three teams to worry about.
Yeah,
we got the whole damn country to worry about. Yeah. We got to worry about, like I was telling you earlier, I was talking about the young lady that is in prison guard, who her and her lover, that's an inmate, escaped.
Yeah.
We're talking about all that sort of stuff.
Wait, sometimes you got to let some fragrant twos slide, in other words.
Wait, yes. What happened here? Who escaped?
Yes.
What the hell just happened? Did. What I missed? What?
Oh, you didn't hear that one, Jay?
No.
He said it like 10 minutes ago, bro.
10 minutes ago, some young lady who was a prison guard decided that she wanted to get her little boyfriend out of prison.
Oh.
And so she decided to exit the back door with him, and they're on the run. And I asked Max how come that always happens and some other stuff.
Like it's not a Florence Nightingale syndrome, but it's something like that, right? Don't they call it Florence Nightingale syndrome? Something like that.
Never happens to us, though.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's a year-to-year type job. It will be interesting as far as how much security that person gets.
One person who is certainly significantly involved in this process is Phil Jackson. He's got a voice in this. He did last time when they hired Frank Vogel.
Key, I still think the Lakers head coach is a good job. It's the Lakers. They still have LeBron and AD.
It is. Anybody that says it's not, they just talking. All them dudes talking about it's not. If you hired, if you asked them to take the damn job, they would. I don't want to hear nothing about Nick Nurse doesn't want the job, so he's going to – I don't want to hear that. If they ask that man to take the job, they taking that damn job.
Jay, you're taking that job if you're offered.
If I'm offered?
Yeah.
I'm not a coach, Max.
Jay
taking New Jersey high school job if he's offered.
Nevertheless, you get a call.
What job you want me to take, Max?
Your agent gets a call. Hey, Phil and Jeannie and Kurt and everybody has this wild idea. They want Jay Will to coach the Lakers. You taking it or not?
Yeah, I'm taking it, but I'm not Max. That point, that makes 0 point.
Why?
Because it kind of makes zero point.
Anybody without a job is going to take.
But
a job.
Jay has a job. That's my point, Key. Jay has options. Jay's invested. Jay's got a media job. He would take the job as the head coach.
That doesn't mean it's a good job because it offered some money.
Jay doesn't have the Laker job.
Like a good job. A good job gives you runway. That you know you can have.
It's not a perfect job. It's a good job.
But see, here's my argument. Here's my conversation against. I don't like to use the word argument. Here's my conversation against you as far as the job stuff goes, Jay. Mm-hmm. The Lakers job is a job that most people in the NBA that does not have a job that equals the Laker job would take. Steve Kerr's not taking the Laker job.
It's one of the premier jobs in American sports.
So when you look at it, when you start talking about, well, Ty Lue walked away from it. He only walked away from it because they wouldn't allow him to pick his staff.
Exactly.
But if they would allow, well, hold on, Jay. But if they would have said, oh, you can pick your staff, he's taking the job.
But doesn't that confirm my point, Key?
No, it doesn't.
You guys only look at the job, and I recognize the opportunity that comes along with the Lakers.
Monty.
But there's a lot of stuff that hangs over these guys.
That's true.
So Ty Lue, you're saying Ty Lue had the opportunity, but they didn't allow him to bring on his own staff. Like, so that doesn't allow him the opportunity to be as successful as possible if you're not allowing him enough time.
What I would say, though, a guy like Frank Vogel takes the job, right? Because he's okay with them helping pick the staff and Jason Kidd and blah, 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 blah. He's okay with that. Where Monte did not want to wait around for them to make a decision when he had another opportunity in Phoenix. He said, you know what, man, I don't have time to wait for
y'all. Whoever it is, Key,
are they going to have LeBron James, right? That's Brian in Chicago, 888-SAY-ESPN. What do you think?
What's up, guys? I love the show. It's awesome. Listen, here's the reality, because I watch hoops and played a little bit. I know you guys got bigger cachet, but he ain't getting another championship ever. Ever.
Who is he?
Ever.
LeBron.
Okay, LeBron. How's he going to get one? Who's he going to beat? You can't beat them young legs four times in a row in 10 days. It's never going to happen. If you coach LeBron, you're going to be told what to do. You'll be used like a little robot. They control you. You can only do so much. You know what I mean? It's like with Trubisky at the job. You do so much, they're going to yank you. That coach don't got no control. Yeah, Vogel took the job. Where else was he coaching? Indianapolis? Now he's got that at his cachet. He's going to move on and get another shot. He won a chip. Ain't no big – Phil Jackson, he need to sit down in the rocket chair. Days are over. Loved him 25 years ago. Come on, man.
Yeah, but LeBron is right. Phil Jackson's there because Kurt Rambis is there because of Jeannie and Linda Rambis, and it's all tied up and a lot of cooks in the kitchen. One of the reasons Jay doesn't think it's a great job. Andy in Syracuse. Where's Andy in Syracuse?
Andy. Max, I'm going to tell you something
really
quick. Oh, there you go.
The collective bargaining agreement is up next year. And it's not possible this year, but LeBron should be a player coach. If anyone can do it, he can do it.
I don't hate that idea, actually. I've said that before.
I hate that idea.
Me too.
I hate it. Max, let me tell you something about Phil Jackson very quickly, Max.
Yeah.
Do you know that while Phil Jackson was the head coach of the New York Knicks, mm-hmm. I had a player tell me directly that Phil Jackson fell asleep during his individual workout.
You meant this president of the New York Knicks.
Yeah. Yes, president.
Yeah, president.
Fell asleep during his workout.
At least he was there half the time he was 20, in L.A.
Top 20 player, oh. Max.
Wow.
Like, so, like, I hear what everybody's saying, but y'all act like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here, man. There's a lot of storm to weather with this whole situation. It's not as easy as just come in and do your thing. There's a lot of people that are going to try to influence you to what you need to do. So that's the question I ask any coach that takes his job.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Do you have autonomy? Do you have autonomy to do it your way?
No matter if it's this job, another job, a sports, whatever it is, if I don't have say, I'm not taking a damn job. Okay? And I understand exactly what you're saying. If I'm somebody looking to get hired, a first-time head coach, Sam Cassell, second-time head coach, and Mark Jackson, if I don't have legitimate say, I don't need to because I got another job. I'm fine. It's not that deep. But with that being said, Max, it is the damn Lakers, man.
And the Lakers have always been organized chaos. Even in their best days, it was chaos, man, like organized chaos. Dr. Jerry Buss, remember, Key starts out, he hires Jerry West and Phil and Pat Riley to both coach, right? And Jerry West says, no, Pat, you're the coach. We're not going to both coach the team. It's always been wild out there, man. Even with Phil Jackson and Jerry West and friction later on, but they were winning championships during all of it. In this era, they've won a championship with LeBron and the current situation. They've won a championship. Dennis in Delaware, where's LeBron going to end up?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. He's going to stay in L.A. I mean, here's my dream scenario. You guys might tell me to stay off the weed, but I think Nash should be released as coach for the Nets, and the Nets should hire Mark Jackson. I mean, Mark Jackson is Mr. Brooklyn. I went to St. John's with him. And then Nash goes to L.A. Now, that's step one. Now comes the big trade, Westbrook for Kyrie. I know everybody's a little older now, so just chill out. And LeBron, play with Kyrie for a couple of years. You got Kyrie, LeBron, and AD. And then you got Westbrook reuniting with KD and Ben Simmons. I think that's my dream right there.
Yeah, I just never see it happen. I never see Kyrie ever playing with LeBron James again.
Right.
Never see it ever happening again.
They might as well bring Hart back to Brooklyn to get the band back together. Hey, Perk, come out of retirement.
I'm trying to think of where he could realistically wind up. Could he wind up in Golden State? He said he wanted to play with Steph Curry.
No, okay. Steph couldn't want him.
Could he wind up?
No.
Yeah, right. Could he wind up in Miami? Yes.
Yes. Golden State. He's going. Golden State is perfect. You send Klay Thompson to go play with the Lakers where his dad was. You send a couple of young players. You send some picks. James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga. And then LeBron gets to go play with Steph. We talked about this for an entire show like a month ago where he goes and plays with Steph.
Evan, I want Jordan Poole. I want Klay Thompson.
Have him.
I want Wiseman.
I
want Kuminga.
Yep.
And I want some draft picks.
Have him. I'll play 3-on-5 with LeBron, Steph, and Draymond and beat all of them.
It's the reason you're
Golden
a fan.
State does that
Steve Kerr said the NBA code was broken, guys. We'll tell you what code and if he's right next. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.